Retirement Taxes, helping bring clients' finances together at letsmakeaplan.org.
WCVE Public Radio. Brian Ford joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of the business and financial news. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. Stock markets acting kind of nervous over the fiscal cliff.
I would say that's a good headline and a good estimation, Wayne.
There's understatement, kind of I guess.
But yeah, black cloud kind of been hanging over investors' heads. Ever since the election a couple of weeks ago, markets have actually dropped about 5% since then. And there's a trade group called the American Association of Individual Investors, and they track how real people feel and act towards business and investing. And Wayne, they note that the negativity right now is as high as it's been in years. The last such spike they saw was in the summer of 2011 when we had our credit downgraded from AAA. And Wayne, here I thought people were just bummed out because Hostess, the beloved maker of Twinkies and Ho-Hos, was going out of business.
So, well, I don't know. Maybe
maybe a little bit of both.
Some of your friends on Wall Street need their Twinkies to get back in the mood.
But a lot of investors are selling stocks now to avoid larger capital gains taxes in 2013. Now, is that the right approach? I mean, I think that's unclear. But we did get a brief piece of optimism at the end of the week when it appeared that congressional leaders are getting closer to a deal to avoid the worst effects of the fiscal cliff in January. So that was very encouraging. This week, we're hopefully getting more positive data about the housing market. It'll be a short week because Thanksgiving is a holiday and Friday it's kind of a half business day, and a lot of people will be off. And, of course, the beginning of the holiday shopping season.
Mm-hmm. I heard something that kind of surprised me, that there's a prediction that in 10 years, the United States will be the world's biggest producer of oil.
How about that? I call that under the category of man bites dog. You're right. Last week it was announced that the U.S. may overtax Saudi Arabia and Russia as the world's largest oil producer in less than 10 years. They say by 2020. Better than that even, Wayne, the U.S. May become a net exporter of oil in less than 20 years. Now, wow. I mean, it's obviously been the dream of many a politician and many a person for decades to make the U.S. truly energy independent. It looks like it may happen. This is a big deal and has major implications for politics and foreign policy as well as energy planning. Why is this happening? Well, primary reason this is happening now is because of better technology. It's called fracking technology that allows drillers to get to more out-of-reach places underground and hard-to-reach shale formations. Essentially, what they do is the drillers can go sideways as opposed to straight up and down. This has created boom towns in places like North Dakota, which has less than 1% unemployment and rising property values. This huge increase in supply has also met with some slowing demand due to Europe's slowdown. And the price of oil has actually dropped sharply in the last 2 months. There have been numerous theories for years that the U.S. and the world would run out of gas and oil by now, or at least by 2050. But really, Wayne, since 2008, the U.S. has more than doubled its output, and the shales in Pennsylvania, North Dakota, Texas, and even Canada appear to be larger than previously thought, possibly holding the equivalent of billions, that's right, billions with a B, of barrels of oil. Bottom line, the oil and energy industries are experiencing a mini boom, and it'll be interesting to see how the environmental and business concerns meet over this new development.
Mm-hmm. So many countries around the world have had their economic woes in recent years. Which country would you think is most similar to the U.S. in this respect?
Yeah, that's a really good question. A lot of times these days we hear the lament, are we becoming the next Greece? Well, maybe or maybe not. But all of a sudden, the U.S. and Japan are looking more and more alike. Wayne, you and I talk a lot about China these days, but let's not forget that Japan is the third largest economy in the world. Like the U.S., Japan is faced with a federal debt and deficit that shows no signs of slowing. They also have a rapidly falling currency, and they also have a central bank, kind of like our Federal Reserve, that's committed to rock-bottom interest rates for years on end. Now, this is not new information, of course, about Japan, but what is interesting is that last week Japan's legislature voted to avoid their own version of a fiscal cliff by approving a funding bill in their parliament. Their prime minister is facing elections as early as January, so that was kind of similar as well. Japan's economy just reported a worse-than-expected 1% drop for the third quarter of 2012, and basically they needed the funding or else they were going to run out of money by December 1st, one report says. Japan had been progressing very well in recovery after their 2011 earthquake and tsunami, and now has suffered this setback. Another similarity between the U.S. and Japan is that ratings agencies are once again threatening to downgrade both countries if they cannot get their fiscal house in order. And yes, I know, you're still sitting there in your car and you're saying the U.S. will never get like Japan, which has been in deficit for more than 25 years. But consider that the U.S. debt to GDP is above 100% and climbing, and Japan's is now 200% and climbing.
Well, it's that time to report on the cost of the traditional Thanksgiving dinner. Has it gone up this year much or not?
Yeah, this is fun. This is a little annual tradition to
right.
check in on the cost of preparing a traditional Thanksgiving dinner. Each year, the American Farm Bureau Federation puts out a list of the cost of certain items like turkey, cranberry, peas, pumpkin. It's kind of a proxy for inflation. The good news this year, Wayne, is that the cost is only up fractionally. They assume a party of 10 can eat for just under $50. The biggest cost, of course, is the turkey, which was up somewhat due to the cost of feed. And while this year's cost is minimal, the jump from 5 years ago is more like 25 or 30%. So that's a big jump due really to the rising cost of fuel and prepackaged assorted food items. So not such bad news this year. But I will say, Wayne, to everyone out there, hope they travel safely and enjoy their shopping this weekend.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, we have about 30 seconds.
Sure.
What are the prospects for the annual holiday shopping season?
Well, I think the expectations are a little bit lower than last year. Last year was up over 5%. Some retailers are expecting about maybe a 3.5% to 4% increase over last year. Layaway plans are more popular than last year, and price matching guarantees are big for retailers. And we do expect that online sales will be rising more in the double-digit range. Just incredible. The amount of holiday spending on online and retail will well exceed $600 billion over the next 6 weeks.
Thanks to Brian Ford at RBC Wealth Management. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Wayne.
And I'll talk to you again next Monday.
Yes, sir.
Brian Ford's financial analysis is made possible in part by Stellar One Bank, personal and business banking for over 100 years. Now at the corner of Libby and Patterson. Information at StellarOne.com. Stellar One Bank. Bank brilliantly. Portions of today's programming are made possible by Mary Ann Duty, in memory of her beloved husband of 51 years, W. Lester Duty, her hero, soulmate, and dearest friend on the anniversary of his birth.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Witt.